As I promised, we are joined right now by a sports writer and a broadcaster for USA Today Sports, the rare journalist who has appeared on this show from multiple continents. He appears today live from South Korea. My guest is Martin Rogers. Martin, it is so good to have you back on. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. You're right. It is a few continents now. I think we're up to four, maybe. It's pretty cool.
At least four. I'll get into that in a minute. But before we get into anything at all that you've been covering at the Winter Olympics, I want to pay my respects, and I want my listeners, Martin, to know exactly how hard you've worked to make this conversation happen. What time is it right now, where you are, and how is your life?
It's 2:20 a.m., Jim, and it's a new kind of reality where 3.5 hours sleep a night is actually a bonus. So it's all good. I only stayed up an extra 15 minutes to talk to you guys. So always a pleasure to do so.
My man. Thanks so much for doing that. Now, I said this. I've been going back over in my mind. And off the top of my head, we have spoken when you were in South Africa, when you were in Germany, when you were in Brazil, to name just a few countries, and now you're in South Korea. What have been your impressions of the first few days of the 2018 Winter Olympics?
I think it's been a good Olympics, but I think it's an Olympics that's really defined by storylines that aren't so much about sports. I mean, politics are obviously a huge part of life in this part of the world, and you see it, and you see it everywhere. You see it in the venues. You see it around the city of Pyeongchang. You see it around the city of Gangneung, which is the sort of sister city where a lot of the events are, too. And you see it in every kind of sense. I mean, the biggest stars of the opening ceremony weren't necessarily the performers. It was the lookalikes of Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump who were walking through the stands. I mean, the biggest stars of the first week of the event have been the North Korean cheerleading section that turn up from everything from figure skating to speed skating to ice hockey. And it's a different kind of Olympic feel. And I think we sense also that maybe the American public are consuming it in a different way because of the time difference and all that kind of stuff. And look, the sports are still great and they're still huge. And a big star is a big star, whether it's Shaun White or Chloe Kim or whoever. But this is an Olympics with a twist. To me, it's slightly different.
Martin Rogers joining us. He's live from South Korea. Well said. So, Martin, what about Shaun White? He wins the gold medal in the half pipe with an amazing performance. And as you wrote, in the lead up to the games, you were ready to declare him the most significant American Winter Olympian ever. Before we get into how that has changed, what would the case have been for him to be the most significant American Winter Olympian ever?
Yeah, that's a great question, Jim. And the reason would be not based on the number of gold medals, because he doesn't have the most. There are other athletes in past Olympics. Eric Heiden won 5 gold medals in 1 Olympics. But the reason would be the cultural shift that we've seen in the Winter Olympics over the last, 20 years or so. The Winter Olympics has become cooler. It's become more about sort of events like the half pipe, about snowboard and freestyle skiing and different kind of stuff that brings an X Games kind of element to the competition. And Shaun White really just picked that up and embraced it from the very beginning. And he brought this sense of style and swagger, and it was a crossover appeal. It was the kind of thing that people who maybe wouldn't have watched the Winter Olympics or weren't even interested particularly in sport before could get something out of watching this guy compete and watching the way he conducted himself. And that's why I think before this Games, I thought for a long, long time, I thought if this guy wins again, 3rd gold medal, he's going to be the greatest American Winter Olympian.
Martin Rogers joining us, 2:20 in the morning in South Korea. Martin, at the same time, of course, he has been sued by a former bandmate for sexual harassment. So how do you square the Shaun White that we see on the half pipe with the Shaun White who's been described in that lawsuit? How does one impact the other?
It really does. I think when you think about White, I was talking about his impact on a number of different levels. Obviously, he's a tremendous athlete, and he's had an incredible amount of success. But for me, what would have made him the greatest was this cultural crossover that he was involved with. And when you factor in something like this, but particularly given the current climate, the Me Too movement, and everything that's happening in America today, when you thrust him into that conversation, it diminishes from the cultural impact that he's had. It has to. It just has to, the way that people react to this kind of stuff these days. It's very, very significant. And, it's unfortunate that it sort of raised its head at this time, but it can't be ignored. There's no question about that. And look, in different sports, it is different. Floyd Mayweather is unquestionably the greatest boxer of modern times, notwithstanding the fact that he's been accused and been convicted of all kinds of negative stuff. But with White, it's different because of the way he took snowboard and he took these sort of extreme sports, made them part of the winter movement, changed the face of the Winter Olympics. That's why this kind of caveat applies to him.
Martin Rogers joining us once again live from South Korea. You know, you mentioned the breakout stars, and it's still early in the games, but I want to ask you about figure skater Adam Rippon. You made the point that he might not win gold, but he'll be the biggest figure skating star of the Olympics, in part because the guy's an absolute, quote, machine. As an example, he told you that, quote, I really like my slutty costumes, end quote. You've spent some time with him. How would you describe his personality?
Jim, I love the way you do research, mate, and you've dug that one out. Yeah. Adam Rippon is an absolute superstar, and I thought this before the games, and I had a colleague say to me, oh, you know what? I mean, the problem is the guy's probably going to finish 12th or something, and he may well. Like, he's not the best figure skater in the world, but the guy is personality personified. Remember Johnny Weir back in Vancouver in 2010, and he became a big star. He finished 6th back then, and there was an American, Evan Lysacek, who won that event, and no one remembers him whatsoever. Adam Rippon is going to be Johnny Weir to a factor of 50. People are going to absolutely fall in love with him even more when he competes again. He's a, like you say, he's a quote machine. He looks great. Like, his costumes are unbelievable. And people just react to that kind of personality, someone who puts themselves out there so unashamedly. He just is completely comfortable in his own skin. And you see that kind of star quality. And when you have that kind of sparkle about you, it really doesn't matter if you're topping the podium or not, especially in a sport like figure skating, where it's really about performance. It's an art form. Of course, it's a sport, but it's different. Listen, this isn't the NFL, right, where winning is everything. It's about the impact you have on people's lives. Adam Rippon makes people smile. People will be tuning in within moments of his performance in the team competition the other day. He was the number one trending topic on Twitter in the United States. That's going to happen even more so when he competes in the individuals. And yes, Jim, I can confirm, in the name of investigative journalism, he does like his slutty costume.
Martin Rogers joining us live from South Korea, on point on his game in the middle of the night. Also, one of the ongoing stories throughout the game has been the dynamic between South Korea and North Korea. How would you describe that so far?
It's funny. I mean, if you'd have asked me 2 weeks before the Olympics, you might have said, oh, it's probably going to be tense. It's not tense at all. The South Koreans absolutely love the fact that the North Koreans are here. They have this fascination because they feel it's their brothers and sisters, but they've just been brought up in a completely different way. They love the fact that the figure skaters are here. There was a North Korean figure skating pair who competed earlier. They got an unbelievable reception from the South Korean fans. And those cheerleaders, who you see them everywhere. You see them at the hockey arena. You see them at different places. They're waving, they're cheering. And the South Koreans absolutely love them. And for a while, at least, the tension has dissipated between these two countries. Now, look. Yeah, we've seen sporting diplomacy before, and in a lot of cases, especially between North and South Korea, it hasn't worked. So is this going to lead to a reunification of the Koreas and long-lasting peace? Almost certainly not. But look, for the people of South Korea, who have effectively lived with the threat of nuclear warheads over their head for the last 40 years, it's a very nice, brief respite, and I think they're all enjoying it.
Martin Rogers joining us for a few more moments. He is appearing live in South Korea. He's a broadcaster and a sports writer for USA Today Sports. I mean, Martin, the number of things that you're writing is so prolific. There's no way we could cover them all in one segment, but I do want to ask you about one thing in particular, a story involving Sister Catherine of the Franciscan Sisters of the Renewal. For those who do not know, who is Sister Catherine?
Yeah, this is great. I mean, this is a real heartwarming story for me. Her name was Kirsten Hollum. She was a short track speed skater, and she came effectively from American speed skating royalty. She competed in Nagano in 1998 as a 17-year-old. Her mum, Diane Hollum, was a gold medal winning speed skater as well. And just when it looked like she was going to become the future of American long track speed skating, she gave it all up. And then she became a nun, and that's what she still is today. And she kind of uses, the fact that she was a Winter Olympian and has had that sporting background to really appeal to young people and sort of connect with them and try to help the poor and needy. She's based in a convent in Leeds in England, but does sort of missionary work around the world. And I got to know her maybe 8 years ago ahead of the Vancouver Olympics. And back then, she didn't really talk much about the fact that she was a former Olympian. But now she does. She embraces it, sometimes talks in front of several thousand people about her experiences. And this is just one of those Olympic stories that we like. The Olympics aren't necessarily about the sports themselves, about the personalities, the narratives, and the storylines. And that's one of my favorites.
All right, so before I let you go for that 3 hours sleep, or 3 hours of sleep you're going to get, what events and stories are you covering for the rest of this week?
Yeah, there's a whole lot, but figure skating is going to be big, Jim. I also cover the short and long track speed skating, but the Americans are doing absolutely terrible in that. So I think for the rest of the week, all eyes are going to be on the figure skating. Nathan Chen, who's going to be in the men's figure skating competition, as well as Adam Rippon, is a gold medal favorite. And I'm just fascinated to see who turns out being the more popular. Is it going to be the guy who's probably going to win the gold medal and does these insane quadruple jumps? He does five of them in one routine. It's an incredibly difficult move that no one even did 10 years ago. Is he going to be the star coming out of this, or is it going to be the guy with the big smile on his face and the flamboyant personality in Adam Rippon? We're only a couple of days away from finding out. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, and it's going to be an NBC primetime, so it's going to be worth tuning in.
Martin Rogers live in South Korea, as I mentioned. South Africa, Germany, Brazil, and now South Korea. We can check that one off the list. Martin, so good to have you on. Thanks for staying up late for this, and I want to again reiterate, it is 2:30 in the morning where you are. Great to talk to you, as always. Martin, well done.
You got it. Take care, Jim.
All right. Have a great time. Martin Rogers joining us. That was so good. All right. So we're talking about the Olympics. I've led that both days, or the last 2 days.